Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Despite Miller's merger with Coors and the subsequent move of its headquarters to Chicago, Milwaukee remains solidly a beer town. But the difference these days is that the beer landscape is no longer populated by monoliths.
In fact, it might be more like the early days of brewing here when scores of smaller breweries competed to make the best brew. This month, Milwaukee Magazine taps into the ever-expanding barrel that is beer in Milwaukee. Senior editor Ann Christensen and associate editor Claire Hannon join me in the studio to talk about the cover story. Welcome to you both.
Good to see you, Bonnie.
Thanks for having us.
Beer, beer, beer. We are known as a beer town, but this is a slightly different look at the beer culture that's happened here over the last few years. So, Claire, you were the overall editor for this. What was the idea behind this, and was it beer that you originally were going to write about?
Well, way back in, I don't know, maybe 2014, the original idea was to do a beer and cheese story. We thought, you know, I hate this word, iconic Wisconsin products that had touched so many different levels of the entertainment and dining culture. But then we went away from that, the cheese part at least.
Well, we went away from it. I mean, you think about cheese and wine, but then if you read more about it, there are a lot of people that'll say that beer and cheese is a really interesting combination if you look at different styles of beer and different kinds of cheese. But that also was somewhat limiting, and we started talking about sausage because this obviously has we have a strong German heritage here. And then it morphed into, well, what about other things? And how interesting is it when you start looking at beers that have food ingredients in them? And then if I'm going out to restaurants and I'm saying, yeah, but hey, I just had this great, you know, barbecued, you know, baby back ribs that had this excellent beer in the barbecue sauce or something. So then we started thinking, hey, we need to talk about food in a different way.
Okay, so it narrowed or maybe expanded to just beer.
Well, it expanded to, like, we knew beer was always going to be a component. And especially the craft breweries, we had done a total beer package in July of 2012. And we loved doing it. We loved writing it. We got great feedback. And we kind of realized that the beer community has such long tentacles, and it was growing and, like, growing faster than we kind of thought in 2012. So it was like, we need to do another beer story. We could do a new story every day.
What was changing? Is it the fact that there are so many more new breweries, or?
More breweries, more beer groups, more people are becoming beer judges, more people are getting their Cicerone certification, which is all about the glassware you serve beer in. I mean, the beer varieties are getting crazier. This is a pared down story list from a huge list of stories.
You could have done the entire issue.
We could do this story every year, I think, and not run out.
But so I think what it became is like, well, it's beer and it's food. It's dining in a way. We didn't want to get too into restaurants with this, but it was inevitable to get a little bit of that in there. So,
and they're crossing over more than ever, like company brewing.
Right. Company brewing is it's a restaurant and brewery that recently opened in River West. The owner actually was the coffee director at Collectivo, first El Terra, then Collectivo. But he started the beer program at Collectivo, always wanted to start his own place. So he finally did. And he's also doing food. So he's got a chef coming in. And one of the things she's doing that incorporates company brewing's beer is a dessert. That it isn't a chocolate cake, but this is like more of a fruit-based dessert. But she's looking for interesting ways to use his beers in the cuisine. So, I mean, but you see, you're seeing so much more of this now.
Do you think Wisconsin is kind of at the forefront of sort of a beer revolution, thinking about it in different ways?
We were certainly there at the beginning with the big breweries that then became the massive breweries. But Michigan is a huge craft beer state. North Carolina is huge. Colorado. And in that way, we are not that big. But that's not to say it's not becoming larger and larger here.
And I'm also thinking in terms of, like, what we're doing with it. Like, Anne, you were saying, like, pairing it with different foods, but also using it as ingredients in different ways, too. Maybe we're a little at the forefront of that.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's, you know, certainly a lot of creative people out there. I think I'd like to think we're at the forefront of that. But I don't think, you know, maybe we're not, you're not seeing the same ideas elsewhere as you're seeing here. And you're seeing a lot of really great, creative, interesting, you know, talented upstarts. I mean, it's fun to assign these things out, and then when it comes in, and you're kind of delighted all over again because you see how cool it all – it comes together and it really makes a really great package.
It's not just a beer story.
Right. No.
No, and the – just the people involved, craft brewing has been booming – well, growing and growing and growing since the 80s. But the community, especially in Milwaukee, is still a little insular. But there are some great personalities, and they are not afraid to say what they think. So you still get these really cool characters who are just obsessed with – this beverage.
That's so, a perfect segue into the taste test.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was turning the page to get to that because you have the judges who are themselves a cast of characters, but you also have this amazing mix of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 beers that are so very different from each other.
Yeah, this year we tried to do a Wisconsin-made IPAs only that aren't seasonal. So that means you can get them year-round, and hopefully their consistency is really good. Sometimes with seasonal beers, one year it tastes a little spicier than the year before. But IPAs to beer geeks are kind of the thing you eventually evolve your taste buds to enjoy.
And that's India Pale Ale, right?
Correct. And American Pale Ales are the same. So we wanted to do IPAs, and we wanted them to be as fresh as possible. And then we wanted judges with different levels of tasting experience. A couple of these turn out to be almost professional-level judges. So they have really refined palates and could, you know, write 500 words on each of these beers.
We also included our beer guy. We have a guy who's been covering beer for us for years, Dan Murphy. So he was, you know, pretty much a shoo-in. We definitely wanted to include him.
Beth Pickard, she's part of Barley's Angels, which is a
great name, first of all.
Oh, it's so clever. It's a female homebrewers and like beer enthusiast group. Well, as it turns out, she also happens to have a blog called Brew City Biker. So she's writing about it all the time. And then, of course, we have Mike Romans, owner of Romans Pub, who is certainly not afraid to speak his mind. And then Tom Ciula, who does the Grinder newsletter, which is sent to beer enthusiasts. I mean, a lot of the brewers around the state get his newsletter, and he just kind of gives what he calls the old guy's perspective on all things beer in the state.
He might even throw in his a little restaurant review in there, too. I've noticed
that. It's a mixed bag. It's family history, restaurants.
Anything you want.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So were you surprised by the choices that they made?
You know, I was tasting them while
because
they were as
quality
well.
Quality control.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we weren't going to waste anything.
No.
And I was not surprised that much by the winner, which was Ale Asylum's Velveteen Habit. It was wonderful. And actually, it won by quite a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's one I don't know. And I love IPAs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to try that. I love that hoppy, bitter taste.
But
yeah.
It's like not, you know, bad aftertaste bitter. It is a smooth, hoppy. It is so rich. It's delicious.
Well, and talk a little bit about some of the food, too, because right next to this taste test, we've got the beer pairing and food, and we also have some unusual things. You mentioned the ribs before, but there's also, like, stout cake and
right.
things like that.
Well, actually, this taste test of IPAs is an interesting segue into how to pair beer and food, because some people will say IPAs are really difficult to pair with food because they're so hoppy. And there's some people say, I don't even like to drink an IPA with food. So I went to Bill Tressler, who's the owner of Hinterland, the two locations. There's one in Green Bay, one in Milwaukee, and they have a brewery as well. And I knew that Bill was really interested in fine dining because of these restaurants. What I didn't know is that somewhere down the line, he had thought about being a chef. He himself was for a brief period of time, the editor of a craft brewery magazine. So he has a little bit of writing experience. But this guy has started tasting beer in a way of thinking about beer and food together, like really thinking about it seriously. So he and I were talking about this, and I was saying, you know, some people really, you know, think IPAs are so difficult to pair with food. And he's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I think he spends actual days, you know, sitting down with beer and the food maybe that they serve at Hinterland or when he goes out. And he's like thinking about what's going to taste good here because he's in the business of making beer.
Yeah, and making that happen.
Exactly,
yeah.
Making it happen. So even though he says, you know, IPAs are traditionally very difficult to pair with food, he really likes it with Mexican food or Thai food. So something really spicy. That to him is a really good pairing.
Claire, there was one other thing that I wanted to ask you about different brewing companies that have come up since the last time Milwaukee Magazine did this story. Who were some of the stars?
Well, since last time we did this, we had 7 that opened, and I think after we went to press, another opened. In Mequon. You know, of course that happens.
Yes.
but they keep coming and people keep trying it. And now, I personally have not tasted beer from all of these places, but I know Dan, our beer writer, who does make a point to taste them, was really impressed with Company Brewings. They have a grapefruit beer. Grapefruit is like the trendiest ingredient right now, especially in IPAs. He really liked that. I think Like Minds, that's the Sanford.
Right. The owner of Sanford, Justin Abrahamian, and a partner started a brewery, which this is a whole different story, but it is in Chicago. That's where it's based because it cannot be in the state of Wisconsin because Justin also operates a restaurant here. But they have some really tasty beers.
People loved the cucumber. It might have been a Pilsner. I think he was really impressed with.
There's one in Brookfield. I see Biloba Brewing, and that's only a year old.
Yeah, 2014 was a good year. Brenner opened that year, and that's probably one of the most buzzed about breweries in recent times just because it's Mike Brenner and, you know, his crowdfunding campaign was so successful and his Beer One Awards. So
Beer One Awards, and it's also an art space.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
So beer is kind of everywhere is what we learned. It's in art. It's in restaurants.
So I have to ask, in all of the various tastings and things that you did, do you have any favorites that you would go back to or serve to guests?
I did not like IPAs before we did this story. I would drink Velveteen Habit any day of the week. I was really that enamored when we did the test.
Okay, now I have to try it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's great.
And I'm going to speak more from the culinary aspect because there's so many really interesting dishes that have beer in them or used as an ingredient. And I mean, even in talking to chefs, some of them are growing their own hops in their gardens, you know. Justin over at Sanford is making his own vinegar out of Berliner Weiss beer. And then he's using it to poach oysters, you know. So it's not just, oh, yeah, I'm going to use this stout beer to make my brisket or something like that, which is, you know, those things are maybe a little more expected. But you're seeing some really unique kinds of things happening.
Well, do you think you'll probably be doing another story about this not in 3 years' time, but maybe 1 or 2?
Well, I don't know.
That
we'll
depends
see.
On our boss, Kurt Chandler. But I think we could easily do a beer story every couple of years. I'm sure will be just as many new breweries. And I would think, especially with restaurants, more and more restaurants will be focusing on a really extensive beer list.
That's the other thing
from the
get-go. Haven't even touched on because, you know, as restaurant operators are opening their restaurants, yeah, they're creating their menus and they're thinking about their wines, but they're putting a lot more thought into their beer list too. It's not just Miller Lite anymore, you know, and Miller and all, you know, Miller products or other national products. You're seeing these really extensive craft beer lists that are really exciting. I think that's only going to evolve more.
So a lot more to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You could safely say that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in and whetting my appetite. Once the clock ticks over, I think I might have to go find. What was that one, Claire? What was that one?
Ale Asylum's Velveteen Habit.
And that's a great name, too.
Yes.
How can you go wrong?
Right.
So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ann Christensen is senior editor, and Claire Hannon is associate editor at Milwaukee Magazine. The feature, The New Brew City, is the cover story in the September issue.